chapter 13 one more time. What a blessing to be able to be here on Sunday live and in person. For those of you that cannot, we're glad that you are joining us on YouTube into worship. Thank you so much. I know the platform is not quite as colorful as it was last week, so the comments this week probably will not be as colorful as it was. Someone suggested the next time I wear a polka dot coat and blend in with the surroundings, and other snide comments like that. You know. But anyway, the decorations were above and beyond this year. Amazing. Kind of makes the walls look plain now. But we'll get used to it. All right. I'm glad you're here. 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 13. And now abides faith, hope, charity. They're here. They have not ceased. Verse 8. Charity never fails, never, not one time. But whether there be prophecies, direct utterances of revelation from God, given to apostles and prophets prior to the completion of the Word of God, now prophecies are the Word of God itself and proclaiming the Word of God. Whether there be the gift of prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, the gift of languages, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, the gift of knowledge, it shall vanish away. Because, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, and it has, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Children, in the teaching and the training of children, lay the foundation for what they're going to be in adulthood. Most are going to be terrorists when they grow up. Verse 12, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. Now listen to this statement. But the greatest of these, the greatest spiritual gift is charity. I would remind us that we are finishing the last message of the sixth truth the Bible says that we should not be ignorant of. That's concerning spiritual gifts. A lot of ignorance due to misdiscipling or no discipling. But I think chapters 12 and 13 clear that up. Chapter 12 is the misuse of it. Chapter 13 is the correction. Verse 8 says that the miracle sign gifts will come to an end because of three things. Israel will finally and forever reject the sign gifts. The office of apostle will end with the death of John. And the New Testament will be completed with the recording of the book of Revelation. So that has all three taken place. So the purpose of those miracle gifts, those miraculous sign gifts that were to Israel, have ceased. So the operation of those gifts have ceased. The need of laying the foundation of the church is no longer there because the foundation of the church has been laid, with the cornerstone being Jesus Christ. So the purpose of those gifts have been accomplished and fulfilled. The other spiritual gifts still continue with the purpose of glorifying God, of edifying the church, and doing the mission, the work of the church. The focus is never on spiritual gifts. It's always on Jesus Christ. Chapter 12, verse 31 says, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." Instead of focusing on the spirit, what spiritual gift do I have? What should I be doing about it? He says, let me show you a better way to do this. Let me show you the greatest spiritual gift that you can covet after, that you can desire to have. That's what covet means. Everything will fall into place if you seek and use this gift of charity. 9 times the word charity is mentioned in chapter 13. And in verse 8, it says it never fails. And in verse 13, it says in our text that it is the greatest of all spiritual gifts. Now, the regurgitation of the Gnostic, Alexandrian, Catholic, counterfeit New Testaments into Baptist churches of all places has made it necessary to do extra explaining in chapter 13. Because in those New Testament perversions, this primary truth in chapter 13 is therefore perverted. And the essential spiritual gift of charity. That's because they put and exchange love in the place of charity. That is a mistranslation. The Greek text does not say that. The Alexandrian text does, but not the received text. Two different sources of translation, which is why they say different things. So if you're looking at love instead of charity in chapter 13, you've got a counterfeit. They're not the same things, even though they exist together. They're not the same. 1 John 4:16 says, God is love. He is the only source of love. Love does not exist outside of God. What a lost person calls love, God calls lust. That which gives to me what I want, that pleases me, that gives me pleasure, that makes me happy. That's not love. That's why they can say to a wife that they are divorcing, I do not love you anymore. You've gotten ugly and grouchy. Don't laugh too hard, men. In other words, you no longer make me happy. Have you looked in the mirror lately? I got news for you, bud. Number 2, number 3, number 4, number 5 is not going to make you happy either. Problem's not them. Plus all the common laws that you have in between those. The only source of love is God. So if you demand that from another person or from another relationship, you will never, ever achieve it. And you will continually blame them for doing what they cannot do, for what they cannot provide. So if you don't have God through His Son, Jesus Christ, you do not have love, you do not have truth, and you do not have life, and you do not have the only way to God and to heaven. Man's definition of love is get. God's definition of love is give. And when you give love out from you that you have received from God, that action is called charity. So I can have love without charity. You see, it doesn't go far enough to define the exact truth and meaning that the Holy Spirit intends. So when an individual thinks they're smarter than God to correct what God said, you have departed from faith and you are worse than an infidel. There's a unique word in Greek called agape. You didn't think I knew Greek, did you? I know a little Greek. He runs a little stand in Houston, you know, that sells those sandwiches. Agape, which is what is translated charity, is the love of God for man. The love of man for God. Love from God put into action. For God so loved the world that He gave charity, His only begotten Son. He delivered Him up. He commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Charity. Romans 5 says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. 1 John 3:16 says. That's charity. It's when you take the love you've received into your heart inwardly from God and give it out in the form of an action or words that come in contact and affect another person. So you have the power to affect a person around you with the direct words and actions of Jesus Christ. You bring them into the direct presence of Jesus Christ when you do not hinder and cover up His presence with the flesh. What a potential to change your marriage, to change your home, to change your world. When you love God, you worship Him in your heart, in spirit, and in truth. When you take it out of your heart and it comes out of your mouth, it takes up the form of praise and thanksgiving. When it comes out into the form of an action, it's called obedience to His words. If a man love me, he will keep my words, the Lord said in John 14, verse 23. Faith is a spiritual gift that we receive inwardly from God. When we bring it out into an action, it becomes good works. Worship without obedience is empty and useless. Faith without good works is empty and useless. James said it is dead. Knowledge without wisdom is empty and useless. It just feeds your pride. And love without charity is empty and useless. That's why when you change charity to love, you make the truth empty and useless. Anything we do in the flesh instead of the spirit with charity is empty and useless. Verses 1 to 3 of 1 Corinthians 13 says just that very same thing. Though I speak with the tongues, the languages of men and of angels. Now, I speak an angelic language. I speak a heavenly language. So do I. Every time I go to East Texas. Howdy! If you'll notice, everywhere in the Bible that an angel speaks, he's understood. Okay. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You're just making a noise that annoys people. Kind of like some music. Well, no, I won't get off in there. Not music, it's noise. Verse 2, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains. Wow. All these miraculous gifts. If I have all of that but not charity, I am nothing. Did you get that, Corinthians? Did you get that, modern day charismatic Corinthians? Did you get that, misguided Baptists? Verse 3, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me zilch. Nothing. Now, verse 3 is the definition that most people in the world have of charity. It's philanthropy. Giving money, food, and clothes to a charity while people take my picture doing it. Giving to the Salvation Army and so on. charitable giving to a nonprofit organization. That's what they think charity is. It's not. Because you can do that and not have charity. A lost person can imitate spiritual gifts. A lost person can imitate spiritual gifts without charity, without love, and without the Holy Spirit. Because he does not have any of that. He can believe facts about God and perform good works without faith. He can say the words of a prayer and sing songs of praise without worship. Don't lose your place in Corinthians, but go back to Matthew chapter 7. Verse 21. After verse 20, he says, by their fruits, by their outward actions, by the results that their outward actions have, you shall know them. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Obey his words, which only a Christian can do. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not? By the way, he said, why do you call me Lord and do not the things I do? I say for you to do. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? There it is. Gift of prophecy. Speaking direct revelation. Have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. Good works. Give money to the poor. Give clothes. Give food. Verse 23, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. The imitation of those spiritual gifts, the declaration of the words of God, and from those declarations of the words of God, casting out demons, said that's iniquity if it's done by a person who does not belong to me. I can have love without charity, but I cannot have charity without love from God. Charity is giving and helping someone who is uncharitable. It's giving with no hope of expectation of return. Verses 1 to 3 is what charity is not. Verses 4 to 7 is what charity is. Now here's what charity looks like. Verse 4. Charity suffers long. Or long suffering, patience with shoes on, patience that begins to be uncomfortable and even hurts. It's kind. May I ask a really simple question here? Are you kind to people? Do you speak kindly to them at all times? Even to insurance salesmen. I know I have to repent a lot. It's kind. K- kind takes more than simply an effort, because it actually goes against human nature. Human nature is not kind. Again, I refer to the little ones. Most of the time, they're not kind. A little guy came up to me and said, "You're fat." And I said, "You're ugly." I said, "I can always diet." I'm telling you, a child that is untaught and untrained and unrestrained is a terrorist. Then when they become teenagers, it becomes subversive. It goes underground. Then you say something, they go. Or they go, okay. Now, parents, are you kind? Okay, so we'll get it both ways. Just very kindly. And smile. Y'all enjoying this way, way too much. Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Why? How can you envy if you want to give instead of take? It's not puffed up. It's not full of pride. Not full of knowledge without wisdom. Verse 5, doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil. What young people hearing from us is that the world is gone. There's no hope. There's no way to succeed. There's no way it can continue without Jesus coming today. If that's all they're hearing from us, where is their hope? If all they hear is what's wrong with the government, without God being mentioned as to why the government is like it is, because of the church, then you haven't told the whole story, have you? I had two football coaches in high school. The first one lasted one season. We went 0-10. He called us sorry, no good losers. He said we'd never win a game that whole year. Right. He said you can't score and you can't keep the other team from scoring. He said, "This is why I hate football." Second season. Coach number two started off by holding a football in his hands and telling us that this is called a football. And he said, "The object of the game is to take this ball, go to the other end of the field, and score a touchdown." He said, "Are there any questions?" He taught us how to block, how to tackle, how to play offense, how to play defense, how to have fun, how to give 100%. And he says the score, he said every practice, the score does not define who you are. 10-0. What are you telling your children? Positive or negative? What are you telling people around you? Positive or negative? Do they hear kindness from your words? Do they see a demonstration of kindness in your actions? Do they hear you speaking evil or good? Simple questions. How did Jesus live his life? I can sum it up in one word. Charity. You want to be Christ-like? You have the ability and the power to do so from the Holy Spirit, who is conforming you to the image of Christ, if you'll get out of the way and quit hindering it. The Holy Spirit will lead you into a life of charity, which will have a profound effect on the people that you're bellyaching and complaining about. Pointing to a sinner and pointing out his sin is pointing out the obvious. The Lord said, I didn't come to condemn the world. They're already condemned. Come to save the world. Do you go into the job? Do you go into the community? Do you go at home? Do you spend time with your children in order to condemn? Or to introduce them to Jesus Christ and salvation? How's things between husband and wife? Do you speak kind to one another? Man, I got some looks on that one. Again, simple question. My wife always nags. What do you do? What's that called when you do the same thing to your wife? Constructive criticism. Yeah, I know. Verse 7, charity bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. What a way to live. Charity will never fail. The other things that I'm mentioning that are not charity, it's gonna fail. It's going to cause your marriage to fail, your children to fail, co-workers to fail on the job, your community to fail, your church to fail. Then what happens as a result of that is you get a government that is tyrannical. And a representative government is a reflection of the people. Charity never fails. The greatest spiritual gift is charity. So verses 8 to 13 to finish out the chapter is the supremacy of charity. Folks, charity is Christianity. Living out the life of Christ that is in us. If you truly love God with all of your heart, mind, body, soul, and strength, you will worship Him privately every day. You will worship Him in your marriage and in your family. And you will worship Him publicly in the church family He's put you in. And you will obey what He said to do if you really love Him. If you really love your neighbor as yourself, you will not do any harm to him. You will not speak evil to him or of him. You will do kindness to him whether he deserves it or not. See, I can't live that kind of life. Good, finally. You figured that out. No, because it violently opposes human nature, the flesh. It takes the power of God to live this kind of life. But folks, do we not have the power of God available to us to do that? So why aren't we? Because it's easier to default in the flesh and complain and gripe and blame everybody else for why you're. Time to grow up, folks. Verse 11, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. You're not a child anymore. Christianity is living out the life of Christ that is in us. And that's what the Bible calls charity. So is that the attitude that we show to the world? Is that how we interact with the world? Is that how we interact with undiscipled and misdiscipled young Christians? Or do we immediately point out what's wrong? Follow after charity, the first verse of chapter 14 says. Follow after it. Pursue it. Seek it. Pray and ask the Lord for it to empower you to apply His love in this way of living life. The greatest act of charity is to explain the gospel and demonstrate it to somebody that's lost. Lay your life, your agenda, your plans aside and take up the unconditional love and sacrifice to God and to your neighbor as the greatest accomplishment that you can ever do in your life in the world. That's the challenge of chapter 13. And the Lord says, I've called you to live this kind of life, so therefore I've given you the ability to do so if you would just simply ask. And that you would consciously, every day, choose to live life that way. Let me ask those of you that have never been born again. Can I just ask a simple question? What are you waiting for? If you know God is real, then you know your sin and rebellion against Him is real. You know that things aren't right in your life. You're miserable. God didn't save you to live that kind of a life. He saved you to live a life of joy. But you have to do it His way. And here's His way. So, Say, Lord, I want to be saved today. I want you in my life, and I want you to be my life. That simple. You that are born again, are you living like you are? Father, we thank you this morning for this instruction in righteousness, for this truth that comes out in chapter 13 that lays the groundwork of what it is to be a Christian, what we have been saved by you in order to do. And because so few Christians are living life this way, there's no effect at home, there's no effect in the community or on the job, there's no effect in the country. So Lord, can we just, before you this morning, make a conscious choice that we're going to stop living in the flesh. We're going to stop living like we did before we were saved. And that we're going to, once and for all, put the flesh, the old sinful nature aside, and stop allowing it to govern us. And consciously pray, Lord, govern my life. And I consciously put my life under your authority and control. Lord, I want my marriage to be what you want it to be. I want my children to be what you want them to be. I want my church to be what you want it to be. Lord, I want revival to take place in the churches so that once again, the life of Jesus Christ will shine into the dark, evil places of our world. Lord, we can solve all of the heinous crimes and sins with salvation. So instead of fighting against sin, may we simply proclaim the gospel, and the gospel will fight against sin through repentance. Lord, may we get back to what the greatest gift we've received from you is, and start exercising it. We ask and we pray in Jesus' name. Let's all stand.